The Bible says we're all parts of Christ's body. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. You know, hands, legs, arms. We are all part of Christ's body, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. In other words, hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And every part of the body is necessary, for we each have different work to do. There's that differences again. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. You are needed.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Shaped to Make a Difference. In these teachings, Pastor Rick uses the acrostic SHAPE, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, to talk about the way God wired you and why you need not just to know your SHAPE, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD and workbook study kit for this life-changing series. This extremely popular video version of our series, Shaped to Make a Difference, is a great way to be a blessing to your family, friends, or small group. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts.
Did you know that God has work for you to do? Specific work that He wants you to do while you're on this planet? And nobody else can do that work? It's called your life's work. God doesn't put people on earth without giving them a life's work. And your life's work involves your job, your career. It involves your ministry, your mission, all these different things. And God says, I put you on earth. Did you know that God has work for you to do? Work is a part of God's purpose for your life. He didn't put you on earth just to be a placeholder, just to take up space, just to use resources, to be a cipher. No, He put you here to make a contribution. You say, what contribution am I supposed to make? Based on your shape. Now, God never gives you a task or work to do without giving you the ability to do it. And that's called your spiritual gifts. And as I said, they're laying dormant in you until you decide to discover them and develop them. Surveys have shown, many, many surveys have shown that in America, most people, most Americans are in the wrong job. They're in a job they're not shaped to do. They're in a job primarily for economic reasons, not because it's fulfilling, not because they're good at it, not because they're shaped at it, but because it's just putting bread on the table. Let me say this to you. It's not like you're living in a number of countries that I could mention to you where you don't have the freedom. If you're in a job that's not using your talent, your abilities, the shape that God has given you, your spiritual gifts, get out of it. Life is too short to waste your life on a job that doesn't express who you are made to be. Get out of it. Even if it means taking a cut in pay, even if it means selling your home, even if it means moving out of Orange County, get out of it. Life is too short and your life is too important. God did not put you on earth to make money. The greatest things in life aren't things, but what matters is what God has shaped you to do. I want you to write this down on your outline. My gift is the power to bless others. My gift is the power to bless others. If you are a believer, every one of you have that spiritual gift, at least one, and you probably have many. And it is the development of your spiritual gifts, those abilities that God has given you, that blesses other people. Now, the Bible says this, there on your outline in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read it aloud together. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. Now, there's a word that's used three times in that verse. I want you to circle. It's the word different. There are different spiritual gifts. There are different ways of serving, and there are different types of work to do. Now, we're all called to serve God. We're just called to serve God in different ways. So don't try to copy anybody else. Don't try to be like anybody else. You're unique. When you read a biography, you go, wow, I wish I could pray like that. I wish I could do that. Don't, because God didn't make you to be that person. God made you to be you. Now, knowing your spiritual gifts answers questions like, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do with my life? What kind of job, what kind of career should I have? What should be my ministry? What should be my mission in the world? Gifts explain where you're supposed to be headed. They shape your work. Now, they not only do that, they explain why people see things differently. It's why you get in fights with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you get in fights with your wife or your husband or people at work, because people are gifted differently. And even when you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you always approach problems from your giftedness. You always do. And that's why two people can approach the same problem and they see it from a different angle, because they're gifted in different ways, and you always approach problems with your gifts. For instance, if I invited a bunch of you over for dinner tonight at my house, and we're sitting around the table and somebody serves a dessert and they spill it. Now, if you had seven people or six people sitting around that table and each one of them had a different gift, they'd respond in a different way. For instance, if you had the spiritual gift of exhortation, you'd be likely to say, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. Because people with that gift are always figuring out how to correct something. On the other hand, if you had the spiritual gift of mercy, you'd be going, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody does that. And your goal is to relieve embarrassment if you have the gift of mercy. Now, if you have the gift of serving, you would probably immediately say, here, let me help you clean it up. Because that's your goal, to help meet a practical need. On the other hand, if you had the spiritual gift of teaching, you'd probably say, now the reason it fell over is because it was too heavy on one side. And you're always trying to figure out why on everything, if you got that gift. If you have the spiritual gift of giving, you'd say, well, don't worry, I'll be glad to go buy another dessert. Be right back. And you know, you're trying to meet a practical need. If you had the spiritual gift of administration, and the Bible says that is a spiritual gift. It's different from human management. It is the spiritual gift of administration that God gives you to organize things. And if you had the spiritual gift of administration, you'd probably say, Jim, you go get the mop. Sue, you make a new dessert. Betty, you help me clean this up. You know, you know, in every small group, God puts at least one person with the gift of administration. It's true. In every small group, somebody has the gift of administration, because God says we're going to organize this to achieve a group goal. Now, not only does your spiritual gift shape your work, it actually shows your worth. That's the second thing. It shows your worth. Your gifts show your worth. They show how valuable you are, because God has put some valuable gifts in your life. Now, the reason why you have value is because of what God says about you, not because of what other people say about you. See, today, many people lack self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves because they're always trying to pump themselves up by the kind of clothes they wear, the kind of car they drive, the kind of things they say, the way they look. They're always trying to pump themselves up to make them feel better about themselves, because they really don't accept themselves. And so real self-esteem comes from three things. Number one, God created you and thought up every one of the details of your life before you were born. Number two, Jesus died for you, which shows your value. And number three, God's Spirit lives in you. And He has gifted you with certain spiritual gifts, and that shows your value. If you're a parent, you should teach what I just told you to your children as soon as you can. Because when they understand God made me, I'm unique, nobody else is like me, then I don't have to compare or compete or criticize, and I don't have to project onto others, and I don't have to copy. You see, as I said last week, most of us start off as originals but end up as carbon copies. God made you to be you. By the time you get out of school, you're already a bunch of what other people want you to be. Your parents, your friends, and everybody else. God says, no, you're missing it. I wanted you to be you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Shaped to Make a Difference. The second half of today's message is coming up.
Have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Of course you have, and you are not alone. In the Shaped to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Reese, you'll see how the acrostic S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Whether you're a younger person or you're in your later years, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you your very own copy of the 6-session Shaped to Make a Difference DVD and Workbook Study Kit. Availability of this life-changing resource, perfect for solo or small group study, is limited, so contact us right now. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
By the time you get out of school, you're already a bunch of what other people want you to be. Your parents, your friends, and everybody else. God says, no, you're missing it. I wanted you to be you. And he says, I don't want you doing three things. First, don't copy. Second, don't compare. And third, don't project. Now, copying is saying, I wish I were like you. And projection is when you say, I wish you were like me. And we do that too. We do gift projection. We say, you should feel the way about this the way I do. That causes a lot of arguments. You should see this the way I see it. You should care about it the way I care about it, and on and on. But these things show your worth. And when your kids come to know Christ, help them to realize that they have spiritual gifts. An 8-year-old has spiritual gifts if he knows the Lord. And they can begin to make a spiritual contribution. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. Now, you know, the Bible, the New Testament part of it, was written originally in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. And the Greek word for masterpiece there is the Greek word poema. It's the word we get poem from. God says, you're my poem. God says, you're my work of art. He says, you're my masterpiece. I don't want you copying somebody else. You're my masterpiece. And I've put some gifts in you, some heart, abilities, personality, experiences, and I want you to use it. And it shows your worth. Now, every part of the body is needed. We're all needed. Look at this verse. The Bible says we're all parts of Christ's body. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. You know, hands, legs, arms. We are all part of Christ's body, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. In other words, hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And every part of the body is necessary, for we each have different work to do. There's that differences again. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. You are needed. You're needed in this church. You are needed in this community. You are needed in this county. You are needed in this world. If you weren't needed, God would not have made you. I want everybody to just say, I'm needed. Go ahead, say that. I'm needed. You are. You're needed. We need you in this church. Say, oh, Saddleback's so big. How could it possibly need me? Because he brought you here. He didn't bring you here to just sit and soak and sour. He brought you here to make a contribution with your life. And everybody is needed. Now, there are no little people in the family of God. Every part, every role is important. How can you say, well, you know, fingernail is not important on a body. Ever lost a fingernail? Hurts. Okay? Every part is necessary. Do you know what the most important light is in my house? It's not the big chandelier in the dining room. It's that little dinky light I turn on every night so that when I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I don't stub my toe. You know what? It doesn't, you know, when I always say the most important light is that little night light, Tom always says, Rick, you're lying, because the most important light in the house to you is the one that when you open the refrigerator door, it comes on. Yeah, okay. Look at this verse up here on the screen. The Bible says this, each of us finds our meaning. You need to know the meaning of your life. Each of us finds our meaning and function in life as a part of his body. In other words, you're only going to find it when you get connected to others in his family, God's family. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned, that's shaped, into these excellently formed or shaped and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. It's just gonna give up the charade, give up the faking, give up the phoniness. Stop pretending. Just be what God made you to be. Why? Because God says when you do that, it shapes your work and it shows your worth. There's a third thing why you need to know your spiritual gifts. Because they share your worship. They share your worship. What do I mean by that? When you use the gifts that God has given you, it is actually an act of worship. What is it that makes God smile? Some people think God only smiles when you're praying or singing or going to church. God smiles when you use the gifts that he's given you. And when you're doing what you were wired to do and shaped to do, and you're good at it and it feels good, God goes, that's so cool. I made them to do that. Remember in Chariots of Fire, that guy Eric Little, the runner, said, I was made by God to run. And he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. God shaped some guys to surf. They're just good at it. And I think when God looks at him, he's going, that is so cool. I made the waves. I made the surfer. Look at this. This is cool. You don't have to always be doing something spiritual. Quote. But God says, I'm going to take the gifts that I've given you, and when you use them, it is actually an act of worship. I look down going, they're doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's being what I made him to be. And that's exactly what, it's an act of worship. And that gives God glory. The Bible says this, next verse. When you produce much fruit, this is Jesus talking, my Father is honored and glorified. Now, when you use your gifts correctly, God gets glory. When you don't use them, God doesn't. And you certainly can't please God with gifts you don't have. God doesn't expect you to be talented or gifted at everything. He just wants you to use what he's given you. Now, how do you discover your spiritual gifts? Three things. You examine, evaluate, and experiment. Examine, evaluate, and experiment. This is how you decide and discover what you're good at. First, you examine. That means you study spiritual gifts. The second thing you do is you evaluate what you're good at. And here's how you do that. You ask other people, what do you think I'm good at? Yeah, ask other people. What do you think I'm good at? Because other people will recognize your giftedness before you do. There are certain things you do well, you don't even know you're good at them because you think you're natural. You think it's naturally that everybody thinks that way, acts that way, feels that way. They don't. Other people will recognize your spiritual gifts before you do. It is in their affirmation that you learn your spiritual gifts. I could have gone 100 years of my life and never known that I was gifted at teaching because I'd never done it. I had to go out and I had to, the only way I could do this, evaluate. And when one time, years and years ago, I was invited to speak at my small group. And there were like 5-6 people in the room, and we sat in the room, and I spoke when I was through. They said, that was pretty good, Rick. And then later I got invited again to speak to our small group, to lead the group. And I go, hey, that was good. That helped me. And then a little while later, I got invited to speak to about 15 guys. And this little, we were going on this backpacking thing, camping thing together. And I spoke to them. And people started saying, you know, Rick, when you speak, God blesses it. Now, I would have never known that I had the spiritual gift of teaching because I had never done it. If you're not involved in anything, you don't know what you're good at because you've never tried it. And so you evaluate and you say, what has God blessed in my life? What do other people say God blesses? What do I feel good at when I do it? And I'm good at it when I do it. Now, as I said, if you're not involved in anything, you're not going to know. That's why the third thing is experiment. You just have to go out and try stuff. I don't think you're ever going to learn your spiritual gift just by taking a test. There are all kinds of tests you can go out there and take. Actually, I took one when I was a teenager on trying to discover what my giftedness was. Spiritual gift. And the only thing the test came up with is that I had the gift of martyrdom. Oh, great. Martyrdom. That's the gift you get to use one time in your life, and it's over. Okay? And you only get to use your spiritual gift the last second of your life. The only thing it came up with is I was willing to die for my faith. Okay, big deal. It wasn't until I started trying stuff. And so you go ahead and you just, now there's no better place to do this than Saddleback. There are literally thousands of ministries you can get involved in. And just try different things. You go, ah, that's not me, that's not me. Ooh, I really like doing that. And I'm good at it. And then you know where you're gifted. You know, when I first started feeling that God was calling me to serve him full time, I actually started out not as a pastor, a preacher. I started out leading worship. Yeah, I was this skinny guy with long hair and guitar, and because I led worship in probably, about 50 churches, different places, you know, on one shot here, one shot there. And I love to sing. I really have a heart for singing. The only problem was nobody liked to hear me. Now, if you got a heart for something and you think you're good at it, but nobody else thinks you're good at it, it's not your gift. Okay? Okay. Just be honest and realize you're not gifted at that. And if three people tell you you're a duck, you're a duck. And so you just need to be brutally honest, have a sane evaluation, not less of yourself, not more of yourself. Just, this is what God wired me to be.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Shaped to Make a Difference. If you'd like an audio copy of today's message or the entire series, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There's also a ton of great resources, so visit PastorRick.com today. Have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Of course you have, and you're not alone. In the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit, created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Reese, you'll see that the acrostic SHAPE, which stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Whether you're a younger person or you're in your later years, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you your very own copy of the Shaped to Make a Difference 6-session DVD and workbook study kit. Availability of this life-changing resource, perfect for solo or small group study, is limited. So contact us right now. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Before you start your day, always pray. Before you start your day, always pray. Thank God for giving you a new day. Talk to him about your plans. Check in with your commander-in-chief. Tell him what you plan to do that day, but tell him that he's free to change your plans. It's important that as you begin each day, you start talking to God. That'll make a difference like you will not believe. And join me next time again as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.